Lord, we thank you for our scripture readings today and this being the Word of God Sunday, that they would just strengthen us in our inner selves to faithfully serve you and complete the mission of the church that you've given your church. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So as I said, you know, and I was not aware of this until we had a meeting with the Archbishop and all the priests on Thursday. In the closing prayer, Father Zender said, and since this is the Word of God Sunday coming up, and I said, what's the Word of God Sunday? So I looked it up online, and actually the Pope issued a motu proprio, which is a very important document saying that he wanted the third Sunday of ordinary time to be dedicated to preaching on the Word of God. And it's like, gee, how did I miss this? It came out in 2019, but I used to think I was so up to date with everything, but obviously I'm not. So this is the first year. And even Michelle, our secretary, said, well, the bulletin company didn't send us any graphics or anything saying this is the Word of God Sunday. So a little slow on the response there. But the Word of God is very significant. And I know I've told you that one of the greatest graces I received when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1988 at the University of Idaho was a love for the Word of God. And I used to read the Bible, and it's these names are hard to pronounce. I don't understand. This is a different culture. But after that experience, it just came alive. And the priest would reinforce Scripture by giving you a scriptural prescription in confession. So I said this the other night. I was in Anacortes doing a teaching for a prayer group. But I remember I went in and confessed that I gossiped about someone. I wish I could say I'd never done it again, but unfortunately, it's an ongoing issue. And he gave me Ephesians 4:15, and it says, we must speak the truth in a spirit of love and only use words that build people up and never words that tear them down. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life, right? So when you speak words of hatred or judgment on somebody, it's not the Holy Spirit speaking to you, because it just tears people down. And then, of course, then he gave me the pillow lecture. When you talk about somebody bad, it's like taking a pillow with all the feathers in it and throwing it to the wind, and now your job is to gather all those feathers back again. So it was kind of like, yeah, just stick the knife in my heart and twist it just a little bit. But I never forgot that confession, and I've always thought about speak the truth in the spirit of love. So when I had to go visit with somebody to confront something that happened here in our parish, that was my prayer. Lord, help me to speak the truth in the spirit of love, and that you sent me here to reconcile with this person and to kind of, you know, heal from a damaging situation that happened. So that's just one practical application of how God's word can help us live our lives for Christ and encourage us and to conduct ourselves in a way that's worthy as Christians. And God is always calling us to a spirit of repentance. And the Bible says very clearly, and this is the first reading with Jonah. And of course, Jonah didn't want the people to be saved. His heart really never changed until the very end of the book, when he's sitting miserably under the sun getting a sunburn. And he's upset that God showed mercy to the people of Nineveh. And it said that Nineveh was a great city. It takes 3 days to walk through it, right? I used to think Seattle was a big city because I'm from Richland, you know, eastern Washington. Then I went to Manhattan in 1991. I thought Seattle is tiny, tiny compared to Manhattan. I couldn't believe how big it was. And it'd probably take you 3 days to walk through that city if you wanted to. But the Bible says that this is good and pleasing to God, who wills that everyone come to a saving knowledge of the truth. And so we pray for our family members, maybe who aren't attending church, who might not believe, that God wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of the truth. And that's what he was doing in the first reading with Jonah, that a humble and contrite heart he will not spurn. And the people responded very positively to the invitation to repentance, even though Jonah didn't. And that just reminds us, too, that God can work in spite of us, that sometimes our heart's the last one to change, but God can still use us, even in our sinful condition, to do his work and help other people. And we see in the gospel reading, come and see. How many of you guys are watching The Chosen? Have you watched The Chosen? I'm not wearing my special socks today, but I have a pair of Chosen socks with little fish swimming upstream. And it's a wonderful way to get into the Word of God and to really explore. And the authors or the people who made the movie say, you know, it's important that you read the Bible yourself, because we've taken some liberty, because there are a lot of things that aren't mentioned in the stories, and so they add their own little nuances to it. But the way they portray Jesus is just like the gospel today. Come and see. That I'm not going to force you to believe or follow me, but I want to invite you to live your life in a new way. And so they left everything. And let me tell you, as a fisherman, my dad too was just avid fisherman. It must have been something really good for them to leave their boats and their nets and follow him and never go back to that. So there was something that he called on, and they stirred him within their hearts. And they said, we want to see what you're all about. We've been waiting for the Messiah. But if you watch The Chosen, the way he teaches people, he lets them discover things on their own and ask questions. And it's not this forceful, just do whatever I tell you to do or repeat after me. They really want to let the Word of God penetrate their hearts and invite them to change their life and love God and love people. And that's what we're all about as well. So St. Paul telling us in his own journey to the Corinthians, to the weak I become weak, to win over the weak. I have become all things to all to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. So Paul realized that he would have to let down his guard, and he was a very well-educated man, but he wanted to win people to Christ, so he tried to relate to people wherever they were at in their journey of life. And that's what we have to do as evangelists, as Catholics too, is that we meet people where they're at. Pope Francis often talks about accompanying people on their spiritual journey. So we meet them where they're at, but we call them to life and life in abundance through the gospel and through faith in Jesus Christ. And the scriptures help us do that. They remind us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we're going to have obstacles, and there are going to be times when we don't understand clearly how God is working in our lives. But if you look at your life in the totality, maybe 1 mile is really painful and difficult, but you've traveled 1,000 miles and you have another 1,000 miles to travel. And so the scripture opens us up to have that perspective. It's like, this is just one incident in my life, and it's not the totality of my life, and this too will pass, whatever difficulty it is. But God is with me and journeying with me throughout my whole life existence here on earth. And then lastly, patience, which I don't have a lot of, unfortunately. This crazy hearing aid is just, it's not working properly, and I'm kind of debating whether I should take it back and not pay the $1,000 for it or whatever. But be patient, keep trying to work with it, right? Because eventually maybe your ear's going to adjust to it or something. But James tells us in this letter, be patient therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You too must be patient. Make your hearts firm, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, about one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing before the gates. Take as an example of hardship and patience, brothers and sisters, the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, because the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So it's a wonderful way to end this homily, just to say, Lord, help us to be patient as you continue to work everything out for us. The assignments are coming out the first weekend in February, the official parish configurations, that was part of the meeting on Thursday. So we have a lot of changes and things we're going to have to do, but God is with us, amen? And he's going to help us through those changes, and you don't have to like it, but we just have to let the Lord take over and lead us where he's going to lead us. But he's with us, and that's the most important thing you can say, is that, I don't know everything, but I know God loves me, and he has a plan and purpose for my life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.